From KPFK Pacific Hour Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacific Hour Radio stations and affiliates nationwide. It has been many months since the videotaped police killing of George Floyd in Minneapolis that sparked the latest chapter of Black Lives Matter and catapulted the basic idea of equal treatment into mainstream consciousness. Activists have now unveiled a new campaign aimed at one very specific aspect of racist police brutality, and that is to undermine the legal doctrine of qualified immunity that has kept accountability at bay for cops who brutalize and kill. My guest is Jerry Greenfield, co-founder of Ben & Jerry's and co-chair of the Campaign to End Qualified Immunity. Welcome to the program, Jerry.
Thank you so much for having me.
How do you explain this idea of qualified immunity to a lay person? We imagine that when one commits a crime, when one is charged, I should say, with a crime, that one gets due process. And if one is deemed guilty, you are convicted. But police around the country are held to very different standards than the rest of us. And that, in part, I think explains why it's so rare to get a conviction for somebody who brutalizes or kills someone if they happen to be a cop. So what is qualified immunity?
It is a legal doctrine that was concocted by the Supreme Court, and it essentially shields police and other government officials from accountability when they violate people's constitutional rights. It is a get out of jail free card. And the way it works is it instructs judges in a lower court to ignore whether any laws were broken and to dismiss the case unless another police officer had been found guilty previously in a similar situation, which almost never happens. And so it just shields police from accountability. And unfortunately, it doesn't serve people who are, as you say, brutalized or killed, but it doesn't serve police either. Because what happens is it protects bad police, and the good police don't need this particular protection. They have constitutional protections as it is.
So it's amazing that there has to be some legal precedent to convict in an officer who is accused. But if you don't allow such a legal precedent in the first place, it's a sort of circular argument. We can't convict unless someone else was convicted, but that's, there needs to be a first, right?
It is often seen as a catch-22 because you can't establish a precedent unless there has already been a precedent. As you say, it's just circular reasoning.
So tell me about this campaign and why it is an important component of the movement for Black Lives.
You know, as I said, this is a fundamentally unfair and unjust policy. And there is an opportunity to make a change legislatively. I think we saw after the murder of George Floyd, there were protests, not just in this country, but around the world. And this is a chance to turn those protests into policy. There is a broad coalition of groups who support ending qualified immunity. It's cross-ideological. On the Supreme Court, there's Clarence Thomas and Sonia Sotomayor. We're working with a coalition of advocacy groups that range from the ACLU and the Leadership Conference. On the libertarian side is Cato Institute and Institute for Justice. So there are many, many people on all sides of philosophies who want to end this.
I'm really surprised to hear that Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas is on, taking this position of questioning qualified immunity. He's been reliably one of the most conservative justices. And unfortunately, the conservative movement in this country has backed police officers and their ability to remain immune to the kinds of things that the rest of us, the standards that the rest of us have to abide by. You also mentioned the Cato Institute. This is the libertarian organization. I suppose I can imagine their desire to see equal standards being applied. So this is a broad coalition. How does one go about undoing this doctrine? Where does it begin? I mean, who has to take the first step?
Well, it can happen at the Supreme Court if the Supreme Court decides to look at a case that brings this up again. And that may or may not happen. There are, of course, cases that have come up before that, as I mentioned, Justice Thomas and Sotomayor wanted to look at, but the other justices did not. The most likely way is through legislation that can happen both at the federal level, and it can also happen at the state level. In the last Congress, there was a bill in the House proposed by Justin Amash and Ayanna Pressley, so that was bipartisan. And there was a law that was instituted in Colorado last summer that eliminated qualified immunity, and there are several states that are looking at it now. So, in the upcoming Congress, there will probably be some type of policing reform act, or there may be a standalone bill to eliminate qualified immunity. And what we are trying to make sure is that if there is a larger bill, that eliminating qualified immunity does not get stripped out of it, that it is really central in holding police accountable. You know, it's not an anti-police thing. We say for police, love the good ones, but prosecute the bad ones. We just don't want the bad ones maiming, brutalizing, and killing unarmed people, especially Black and brown people who are disproportionately impacted.
And one of the things that we've seen studies show is that those cops who are, you know, who shoot, who brutalize, who abuse their power, often have a background of doing the same, often have repeated violations of policies, right? And even if they face some minor disciplinary measures like being suspended or maybe even being fired, are often then rehired by other police departments. And so it seems a pretty obvious thing that if you can simply hold police accountable for committing a crime, that you would be able to address such things, you would stop them from being repeated. It's like a serial rapist going free. If, you know, for every person that, for every victim that doesn't get justice, you risk future victims. And it's the same thing for victims of police brutality. We know that Derek Chauvin, who killed George Floyd by stepping on his neck for over 8 minutes, had a similar run-ins and similar abuses of other victims. And so, you know, I can imagine a huge, huge change to the practice of police brutality if cops that violate these laws are simply held accountable. But then it would also, I imagine, send a message to other cops that they could face similar sanctions, right?
Yeah, you know, the interesting thing is the police want to have better relationships and build more trust with the communities that they work in, particularly communities of color. And yet, if there is no accountability, you will not be able to build any trust. And police, as I mentioned, already have very strong constitutional protections without qualified immunity. Police are protected from good faith mistakes. They're protected from, if they're trying to use reasonable judgment, they are fine. It's only if they are intentionally breaking the law or doing bad things, that they would be liable. So there's really nothing for good cops to be worried about.
What about this idea that we hear the very common defense of cops who shoot and fatally shoot, especially Black people, which is, I thought it was a gun. I thought the cell phone was a gun. I thought the keychain was a gun. I thought he was reaching for his gun in his glove compartment. We hear this defense over and over again. I worry that even ending qualified immunity, if there are laws that protect cops from what are deemed innocent mistakes, that very standard defense will still enable cops who kill to be protected, because you or I wouldn't get off scot-free if we killed somebody and then claimed we thought they were reaching for a gun.
Yeah. We all understand that police have difficult jobs and they are put in difficult situations. And as I said, they have protections from making good faith errors. They can make mistakes. They are not going to be held accountable for those if they're reasonable, good faith errors. It's only when they intentionally do bad things that they're going to get in trouble.
I suppose many of these issues do get decided on a case-by-case basis because every situation is different. You mentioned Colorado earlier. Colorado passed this landmark law against qualified immunity last June. Is that a model for other states? And you know, has it, having had it in place for the last 6 months, have we seen any change? Have we seen any actual impact on police behavior and police accountability?
Well, it is a model. And, one of the things that's important about that law, and one of the things that law enforcement was really concerned about, was police losing their houses or losing big judgments. And there is a limit on how much money individual police are liable for if they are found responsible, and that is up to $25,000 or 5% of the judgment. So it is not going to have people lose their houses or get thrown into the poorhouse. The other interesting thing is that in almost all cases, police are not personally liable for judgments. The judgments are paid for by the local governments that they work in. And so, there was a study done, I think in 99.8% of the cases, the police themselves did not pay.
I understand that among those who are seeking to end qualified immunity is the Coalition of Black Police Officers, the former president of the Coalition of Black Police Officers. There was a very tragic story recently where an African-American police officer killed himself after leaving a video note explaining how he couldn't take it anymore. The racism that he experienced, that he saw, the racism that infected his colleagues and his community and the police in his community. How important is this idea of ending qualified immunity for police officers of color who find themselves often caught in these difficult situations? You know, they're either seen as part of the problem, or sometimes they're held up as the solution, that if only we get more cops of color into the police force, we could solve everything.
Yeah, no, I think it's very difficult for police people of color in their situations. They're often lumped in with all the other police, and then they go home in their real lives, and they face lots of questions and concerns from their own families, people in their community. We could address so much of these things just by having police take accountability for their actions. As I said earlier, this is not about getting the police or, you know, trying to undermine what they do. It's an attempt to establish some accountability for the work they do. You know, it's funny, Ben and I are involved in this. We've been in business for 40 years. And I can tell you that in business, in any organization, accountability is the key to achieving desired results. You would never have a business place where the people who work there were not accountable for their actions. It's unthinkable, and it's even more important when you have law enforcement officers who are authorized to use lethal force in our names, that they have accountability for their activities.
And I want to just mention the name of the officer that I had referenced, Clyde Kerr. He was a Louisiana police officer who, in one of the videos you posted right before he killed himself, he said, "I've had enough of all this nonsense serving a system that does not give a damn about me or people like me." He basically was deeply depressed by what he saw as ongoing police brutality against people that looked just like him by people that were in the same vocation as he was. So when we imagine that this campaign to end qualified immunity might gain traction, what are you calling on individuals to do? There were tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, maybe probably millions of Americans who last year participated in some way in the Black Lives Matter movement, either in street protests or writing their representatives or, you know, just speaking out. There is clearly a desire in the country to see an end to racist police brutality. What can ordinary people do to boost this campaign?
Well, I think the first thing that I would encourage people to do is to visit the website campaigntoendqualifiedimmunity.org, where you can put in your email, receive updates, and when there are actions to be taken, whether it is contacting your legislators, whether it is using social media, whether it is writing op-eds or letters to the editor, we'll be able to contact people and let them know what is needed at any given time. So I think the power of people working together and bringing their voices together is really what's needed.
Now, you and Ben Cohen are famous for your ice cream. You're also famous for your progressive activism for many years. Why is this an issue that's personally important to you?
Well, I should first say that Ben and I still are employed at Ben and Jerry's, but this particular campaign is an initiative that we're doing on our own. And I think what is moving us and so many other people is the idea of justice and fairness. We all grew up hearing about how our country was based on justice and fairness. And I think as we look around, we realize that is not always the case, particularly for people of color, for poor people. And we can't go around talking about the ideals of our country unless we're willing to work at it and do something about it.
And so when we also think about the opposition that such a campaign would face, are you worried that this is the kind of campaign, even though there is support from across the political spectrum, there is still far too much faith placed in police and the innocence of police, the so-called Blue Lives Matter. There's the police unions as well. What sort of opposition do you expect, you know, from conservatives and police, pro-police organizations, police unions, etc.?
I believe most of the opposition will come from police unions, from the Fraternal Order of Police. And we've actually had a couple of good conversations with people from the Fraternal Order of Police. We've had a very good conversation with the president of the major county sheriffs of America. You know, they don't agree with ending qualified immunity. They acknowledge that there are some problems with cases with people that have had it. They want to protect their members. And I don't think they really understand that you are not going to be able to build trust between police and communities without accountability. These police unions understand that they are not highly regarded when you look at all the killings of unarmed Black people that continue to go on. And we need to make some change with that. It's just, people are outraged. I mean, you can say it's not acceptable, but it is an outrage.
Well, Jerry, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. Give out that website again for the campaign to end qualified immunity.
It is campaigntoendqualifiedimmunity.org.
And we'll post a link to that from our website. Thanks so much and good luck to you.
Thank you.
My guest has been Jerry Greenfield, co-founder of Ben & Jerry's and co-chair of the Campaign to End Qualified Immunity. I'm Sonali Kohatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at RU with Sonali.